today. Amen. God, being the current God that He is, He has something to say to us today. I always feel this way about church. Before I was a pastor, I always felt like God's saying stuff to us. He's working a process, and I don't want to miss a single thing. I'm kind of a selfish that way. I want everything God wants for me. I want to hear everything that He's saying. I think God's really process-oriented, so He's working a process, and I need to stay plugged into that process. And I think that's what church is. I think church is the process that God has to grow us and disciple us and give us opportunities to serve Him, give us opportunities to join together our efforts and do great things in our generation. So I'm glad that you're here today. We're going to continue our series on endurance, and we've been just talking about how important it is to learn how to endure, to learn how to push through obstacles, to learn how to use our faith to overcome, to not let go, but to dig in and push through. It's really important to learn how to do that. As children, wasn't it important to learn to do that? Did your mom make you do that? Mama made me do that. When I didn't want to do it, she made me do it anyway. When I didn't think it could be done, she convinced me it could and I would. Sometimes it took some convincing, but she did that. And I'm thankful for those lessons. And in our serving the Lord, in our living our life in this generation, we have to know that endurance is a quality that is necessary, critical. It'll serve us well if we will just learn to endure. And remember, we're not talking about endurance of life is hard, life sucks, life's difficult, so I'm just going to endure it and get to heaven eventually. No, we're talking about an athlete that increases their endurance so they can win the race. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to go to where the elk are, shoot them, and pack them out. That's what we're talking about. We're getting close to hunting season, right? We're talking about that. You don't just road hunt and drag them in on the four-wheeler. I mean, that's kind of where sometimes our level of endurance gets to. But we want the kind of endurance spiritually where we can go where it's at, kill it, and pack it home, right? We want to be an overcomer that way. I got some great verses for us today. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul's talking to this church and trying to really encourage them, and he's trying to pull back the curtain a little bit and let them see the bigger picture. Don't you love it when God pulls back the curtain a little bit and lets us see the bigger picture? And that's what Paul's doing in these verses. Starting in verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's saying, I'm praying for you folks for this reason right here. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I hope you know you're part of the family. I hope you know you're part of God's family. You're one of His sons and daughters. The people around you are His sons and daughters. The people in your neighborhood are His sons and daughters. The people from other nations are His sons and daughters. All people of the earth and heaven are named in this name of Jesus. I could talk about lots of stuff there, but I got to move on. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man." Paul is saying, I want God to grant you, to give you this strength through His Spirit inside you. You need some strength, and I'm praying for strength inside you. That goes right along with endurance. How many of you wish you were stronger? Man, I wish I was stronger. I'm glad for the strength that I have, but I just wish I was stronger some days. I wish I was physically stronger. I wish I was emotionally stronger. I wish I was mentally stronger. I wish I was spiritually stronger. And Paul says, I'm praying for you that you're stronger. That's a good prayer. Would you please pray that for me this week? Lord, please make Kelly stronger. Please. The guy needs a lot of help. And I'll pray it for you, even though you don't need it as much. I'll pray it for you anyway. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And we're talking about being rooted today. We're talking about the root of your life is where you get endurance from. What you're rooted in, how deep your roots go, what your roots are attached to is where you're going to find your endurance. And here Paul's prayer was that they would be rooted and grounded. Those are a couple of great phrases, a couple of great terms there. Rooted and grounded in love. We need that. Our world needs that for sure. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's saying, I want to pull back the curtain a little bit because I want you to see the width and the depth and the height of this thing you're involved in, of this thing going on around you, the love of God for sure, but this spiritual life that we're involved in. I want you to see it clearer. I need you to see it better, and I'm praying that you would be stronger. He goes on and he says he wants you to be filled with the fullness of God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Filled with the fullness of God. I want some of that. I want you to have that. It's going to take some endurance to get filled with the fullness of God. It's going to take some endurance. Be like some of those skinny guys in the hot dog eating contest. Have you ever watched those eating contests? It's like, oh my goodness, you would expect a big 800 pounder to waddle up there and win this contest. But instead, this 145 pounder goes up there and he eats 800 hot dogs and buns, you know, in 14 seconds. Not quite that many. But they eat all that food and win this eating contest. It takes some endurance to be able to do that. Can you imagine how much it would cost to train for an event like that? I wonder if they were all beef hot dogs. I don't know. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Sometimes I think about those guys in the eating contest just going, they put the bun in the water and moisten it up and shove it in there. And I'm thinking, God, I wish I had that motivation sometimes to be filled with the fullness of God. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for His strength and His fullness in your life? I hope you're really hungry for that. He goes on and he says, now to him, which is God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I wanted to focus for a minute on that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you could ask or think. So when I'm needing endurance, I need to know that God, who is inside of me, who loves me, can do exceedingly and abundantly above everything or anything I would ask or even conjure up in my head, even think. Why would I give up? Why would I lose my endurance when I'm serving the God who can do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever I could ask or think? Why would I even consider quitting or giving up when I'm serving Him, when the fullness of Him is inside of me, when I'm being strengthened by Him in my inner man? Why would I even consider giving up? But the reason we do consider giving up is because our roots are too shallow sometimes. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But before we do, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35-39. Do you know that God wants you to be powerful, that He wants you to endure, and He wants you to succeed? God wants you. He wants you to win. Why would He say, don't give up, don't lose your endurance? He wants you to win. He wants to stretch you and I to accomplish things that we think are impossible. things that are exceedingly and abundantly above anything we could ask or think. God wants to engage you in the accomplishment of things that are exceedingly and abundantly above anything you could think. So I don't know about that. I'm just trying to get through this little stuff. I know, but God's bigger than your little stuff. And He's bigger than your big stuff. And if He's strengthening you, and if you're in Him and He's in you, you got this thing. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You got to know that. When your roots are deep, you can take big stuff and it doesn't matter much when your roots are deep. When your roots are shallow, the least little wind can blow you over, right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Do you have confidence? I mean, can-do confidence. We are going to get through this. We are going to overcome this. We are going, I think, I haven't got to even study this out yet, but a great message for this series would be the book of Revelation and all the seven churches and every message that Jesus gives to the overcomer. The overcomer. There's challenges, of course. Life is difficult. Yes, some days it's very difficult. But you and I are the overcomers. You and I, because of God, we can overcome. Do you have confidence? And He says, do not cast away your confidence, because your confidence has a great reward. We're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about self-confidence. We're talking about confidence that God's with you. Confidence that God is going to enable you to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could even ask or think. Confidence that He's going to strengthen you. Do not cast away that confidence, because this confidence has a great reward for you. If you will endure and just hang on and never give up and never quit, there's some amazing rewards waiting for you just around that corner. But if you don't go around the corner, you'll never get the reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't give up. Don't quit. Look at this next verse. For you have need of endurance. Say amen. Amen, Jesus. It's only October and I need endurance. You have need of endurance. So this was a very interesting verse. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. When I read that, I'm thinking several things, but one of the things I'm thinking is that it is possible to do the will of God and still not receive the promise if I don't endure. I can endure enough to do the will of God, but then I have to continue to endure in order to inherit that promise, to get that promise. And sometimes I think if I just do the will of God, it's an automatic promise appears, result appears. Do the will of God, get the result. Do the will of God, get the result. And God says, but sometimes there's a delay in doing the right thing and getting the right result. And the difference between getting the result after you've done the right thing and not getting the result after you've done the right thing is endurance. How many times have we made the effort, done the right thing, didn't get the immediate feedback that we wanted, and thought it didn't work and it wasn't worth it? Anybody or just me? I know Kari's done it. I know that Kari has thought, you know, Kelly's a little grouchy, so I'm going to be extra nice to him. And she was extra nice to me, but she did not get the immediate result she was after, because I was not immediately nice and sweet back to her. I continued in my grouchiness for a moment or two. And if she would have given up and got grouchy with me and said, nice things don't work, being kind doesn't work, going the extra mile doesn't work, if she would have given up after she'd done the right thing, she would have not gotten the reward. But because she kept doing the right thing and endured, she ended up changing my mood, changing my mentality. I ended up feeling convicted by the Holy Spirit. And she ended up getting the reward she was after. But I'm sure you recognize times when you made the effort, did the right thing, didn't get the feedback you wanted, and gave up. It doesn't work. I took the antibiotic for 2 days. It didn't work. Oh, you need to do this for 10 days and take it all. I soaked my foot in warm water. It didn't work. Well, you need to keep soaking it for 2 weeks. I mean, there's so many times when we get the prescription and we get the solution and we do it, but we don't get that immediate feedback. And this verse says it's very possible spiritually to do the right thing but not endure and end up not getting the promise. We talked about Moses last week, right? Moses ended up not getting that big promise, getting into the promised land, because he had a problem with endurance. He was a cool guy, did some great things, but he missed that. So we need endurance so that after we've done the will of God, we can receive the promise, the reward, and the fruit. But we need endurance for that. The next verse is, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. For now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's a little convicting, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. And if anybody draws back, after they've done it, after they've pushed through it, if they draw back, lose their endurance and draw back, I have no pleasure in that, God says. Oh, you don't either, do you? I mean, you're a lot like God in this respect. When somebody pushes through a little bit and then it doesn't work and then they draw back, you don't enjoy that either, do you? Do you enjoy that when your children do that? They do it almost, kind of, sort of, and then they quit. You don't enjoy that, do you? I don't. I don't enjoy half-done jobs ever. I'm pretty detail-oriented that way. I want the full thing done completely, exactly right, all the time, every time. That's what I want. I could tell you a story about that on our Loving Hands building, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe I will. No, I won't. Verse 39 says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. It's really possible to go almost all the way, stop, and then retreat back into a hell-like condition, perdition. We are not of those that draw back. Man, if the church would get this, we could accomplish so much. We would be so positive with each other. Our buildings would be full and our world would be saved if Christians would learn to keep moving forward, never lose your endurance, never get discouraged, never quit, never draw back. Don't you think? Wouldn't that be a great world? That would be great. That would be great. Jesus, in Matthew 13, tells a story. We call it the parable of the sower, is what we call it. Jesus is talking to a multitude of people. I mean, there's probably 5,000 to 10,000 people there. He's talking to them, and they're hungry. They want truth. They want answers. They want to know, How does life work? What makes us successful? What are we supposed to do that we're not doing? Why do we have the problems that we have? And how can we minimize the problems and maximize the solutions and the great result? How can we do that? And Jesus is offering them so much hope that thousands and tens of thousands of people are coming around to listen to him. And he tells them this story. He says, there's a sower, this farmer, he went out and he planted seed. And he just scattered seed everywhere. He just threw it everywhere he went. He's scattering seed. And some of the seed fell on the sidewalks and the hard trodden paths and the highways. And birds of the air would come. That seed could not get in the ground, right? Birds of the air would come and would steal that, eat that, carry it away. And it would never produce anything except for the bird, right? Some of that seed fell upon stony ground. And it immediately sprang up, and it looked like, man, we got it now. We got it going our way. But it said, then the sun came up and scorched that young, tender plant to where that plant died because it had no depth of roots. It was on stony ground. It's kind of like the mountains, the hills between here and Lewiston. They green up really nice in the spring, but as soon as July hits, they start browning up, and now they're just red and dark. They're all burnt now, but you know, that's kind of what shallow ground looks like. And he said some of this seed fell on grounds that had a bunch of thorns and thistles and weeds in it. And the weeds and the thorns would grow faster than the plant and would choke out the sunlight and choke out the nutrition, and that plant would die also. Now remember, these people are seeking for God. How does life work, and why is it difficult sometimes, and why do some have success and some don't have success, and how can we do better? They're asking these kind of questions to Jesus. And he's telling them a story about farmers. It's kind of like logger stories, you know, I don't know. You got to love stories. And Jesus says there was some of that seed that fell on good ground. And some of the ground was so good that it produced 30 times as much as what was planted in it. Some of the ground was even better. It produced 60 times as much as what was planted in it. And some of this ground was so amazing that it produced 100 times, this bumper crop, 100 times what was planted in it. And the disciples are all scratching their heads going, so what? You know, like we do sometimes. Don't we do that with spiritual truth sometimes? It's like, okay, thanks, I think, you know. And that's kind of what they were doing. And they ended up asking Jesus, could you explain this to us? We don't get it. And he said, yeah, let me tell you. The sower is God. The seed is the Word of God. And God is throwing his seed everywhere to everybody all the time. Johnny sang that song this morning, Awaken the Seed That's in Us. That first song that we sang, awaken that kingdom seed that's inside of us. You and I have a ton of seed planted in us that's dormant right now. God would love to awaken that inside of us. So God's the sower. The seed is his words. The hard ground is the ground that is just not interested, not aware. And Satan comes along, he's the birds, and he steals the seed. So before it can get in, before it can do anything, Satan steals it. Sometimes in our life, God is showering us with answers, solutions, abilities, strength. But Satan is stealing it before we get it planted in our heart. Sometimes. Then he goes on, he says, that stony ground, This is the ground where people's hearts are hardened, not receptive. The ideas on the surface seem interesting, and there's a little bit of fruit initially, but as soon as a difficulty comes, as soon as a complex situation arises, as soon as the heat shines on the seed a little bit, it scorches the seed and kills it because there's no depth of root. And that's where I really wanted to focus today, because we're talking about endurance. I want you and I to have soil in our life that's the good soil. Not the one that's shallow, with root systems that are shallow, and as long as it's raining and the right temperature, everything's cool. But as soon as it's the wrong temperature and the heat intensifies, we give up. We quit. We lose our strength. We fail to endure because we're this shallow, tender plant with no depth of roots. God wants you and I to endure. The cool thing about this whole parable is God's constantly showering you with solutions. He's constantly showering you with the seed of His Word, and you get to decide what kind of ground that seed gets planted in. You get to decide whether your root system is shallow or deep. And we're going to talk about how do we decide that, how do we determine that. But you get to decide if Satan steals it. You get to decide if it's shallow root system or not. You also get to decide whether the thorny ground, which is the cares of life, the distractions of life, the other options of life, choke out the Word of God, the will of God, or if you prioritize the right things. You get to choose that. And Jesus says some of this seed is planted and it grows really well until we choose priorities higher than God. And we give our attention to other things other than God. And we give our highest energy, our highest devotion, our highest commitment to stuff other than God. There's always, I mean, everybody should go elk hunting. Everybody should have hobbies. Everybody should have friends and family. None of that should ever get higher than God. You should have jobs and careers and businesses and make money. That should never get higher than God, though. Because if it does, it chokes out all this amazing potential that God's given you and I. See, we're supposed to be in our generation living for God, fully devoted, serving Him, accomplishing His will. Inside of that, we're going to be full of joy, full of peace. All of our needs will be met. Doesn't God say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all this stuff will be added unto you? Didn't He clearly say that to us? But if we're not careful, we allow the cares of life to choke Him out and choke out His priorities. Let's talk about the root system. Jesus says that endurance is based upon your root system. What is your root system? Where is your root system? What is it like? I think our root system is our worldview. It's our understanding of God's Word. It's our understanding of God's will. It's our root system. Some people's root system is in the philosophy of the world, the logic of human thinking. Some people's root system is in other priorities. It's in the education of society. Some people's root system is they love Mother Earth. That's their root system. Some people's root system is in their political party that they are aligned with. Some people's root system is in, forget all of that, I'm just a North Idahoan independent, and I'm just going to live my little life, my little way, and you stay out of my way. Some people, that's their root system. I get that. I'm a North Idahoan too. I get that. But those root systems will fail you. When the heat really comes on, If your roots are not deep in God, you're not going to endure. What are you going to do when cancer comes your way? Are you going to endure or not? What are you going to do when the fire burns your house? Are you going to endure or not? What are you going to do when you have that major disappointment, that major trauma, when you have that automobile wreck, when you have that financial disaster? You say, well, you're speaking all these negative things into my life. No, I'm not. The rain will fall on the just and the unjust alike. We will have challenges that we must deal with, and we can't overcome them. We're supposed to be overcomers. But if your root system is shallow, you will not overcome them. You won't. What are you going to do when you're in the automobile wreck, right, John? And your legs are crushed, and they say you'll never walk again. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, RB, when Satan says there's no hope, there's no use, and he just pushes you and pushes you and pushes you negatively? If you've read RB's story in Sink or Swim, you know that that's a reality that he went through. But he overcame it, and he's here today. And a lot of you have stories of overcoming. And some of us, we've got stuff in front of us that we're going to have to endure. And I'm not talking about just suck it up and make it through it. I'm talking about win that race. Overcome that thing. Build up some endurance so you can win. Our root system is our worldview. It's our understanding of life and God's word and God's will. It is how we adjust our priorities based upon our root system. It is our actual faith, our actual belief in God, our actual belief in what he promises and what he says, and we direct our life based on that. If you really believe what Jesus said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of this will be, if you really believe that, it will radically change your life. And if you live that way, when the storm comes, you will withstand the storm and overcome the storm because you say, God, I sought you first. I believe in you. And this storm is going to come, but it's going to go. And when it's gone, I will still be standing here. Remember what Jesus said about building your life on the sand or building your life on the rock? The people that build their life on the sand, they hear the word of God, but they don't do the word of God. Their roots are shallow. They have no foundation. And when the storm comes, and it will come, the storm destroys them because they cannot endure it. But the person that builds their life on the word of God and is a doer of God's word, when the storm comes, and the Bible says, and beats vehemently upon the house stands. See, that's what we're talking about with endurance today. Kamei needs to stand after the storm passes by. We are. Today's a big celebration in the park. I want to encourage you all to be there. Say, oh, I don't want to. Be there. Be there. This is a monumental event in our community. This has the potential to be a monumental event in us moving forward and enduring and celebrating the success, celebrating, making it through, thanking and honoring all those that helped. It's a big event. It is a big deal. But we could just minimize it if we're not careful and let it go right on by if we're not careful. When the storm comes, I want you to stand. When you have a loss of a loved one, I want you to stand. When you're dealing with a disease, I want you to stand. I don't want you to overcome. When life disappoints you, I want you to stand. Life is not full of those negative things, but they do come. Right? Or just for me? Anybody else? Just for me? It's been a horrible year for me, in case you don't know. But you know what? I do not focus on that. I'm fine. I'm great. I'm great. If I stop and think about this year, I don't want to do that. Why would I focus on that? Let's focus on, I'm great. God's great. My roots are deep. We're going to endure. We're going to win. We're going to win. And I look at some of you, you're winning. You're winning. Oh yeah, Satan threatened, and it looked bad for a while, but you're winning. Satan thought that thing would take you out and take you down. He thought he would mess with your attitude. He thought he would mess with your heart. He thought he would get you involved in sin. He thought all of that stuff, but it didn't work because your roots are deep. That's amazing, and God bless you, and thank you for being great examples to me and to others around you. Our young people need us to be some great examples of we're rooted and we're deep and we're going to succeed. Our root system is our actual faith, our actual belief in God and His promises. Things that affect the good roots in your life is your discipleship. If you remember, we're talking about discipleship for a year or so now. And discipleship has those four phases that we've talked about. That first phase is you're just spiritually dead. You do not know God. You do not know Jesus. That's kind of like the seed that's planted on the wayside and the Satan steals the seed. You just don't know. You're spiritually dead. And then the next phase is a spiritual infant. You've heard about God. You know about God. You're moving towards God, but you're still an infant. You can't walk yet. You can't talk yet, but you're alive and you're on your way. And the next phase is a spiritual child, the spiritual children. Children are selfish. Anybody know children are selfish? My toys, my food, my everything, mine, mine, mine. And children, they don't like to be uncomfortable. They don't like to be put out. Children are selfish. They're pretty self-absorbed. They're pretty self-centered. And I know they have their generous times, and they have their amazing times too. But have you ever looked at somebody and said, quit acting like a baby? They're selfish and whining and need a nap. Anybody need a nap today? It's like, I need a nap. I got a meeting at 2 o'clock. I'm not going to get one, but I need a nap today. Hopefully I'm not whiny. Sometimes we're just children in our spiritual development. And it's okay to be a child if you're child age in your spiritual development. Be a child. There's nothing wrong with that. But then we want you to become a young adult spiritually, where you start feeding yourself and taking care of yourself and serving other people and meeting other people's needs. And eventually, we want you to become a spiritual parent, to where you're discipling other people and loving on other people and training other people. We want you to go through that development. But your worldview many times is based upon where you are in that cycle of life spiritually. Where are you today there? Are you an infant? Are you spiritually dead? Are you a spiritual child? You don't want to serve. You want everybody to serve you. You don't want to participate. You just want to be the consumer. Children don't want to get a job, and they think your money's unlimited, right? Just pay for it, Dad. Write a check. Use your card, whatever. Are you the young adult? You're figuring it out, and you're feeding yourself. You got your job. You're serving others. Are you the spiritual parent, to where you're looking around, really caring about other people and discipling other people? Where are you in that spiritual journey? How deep your roots are depends a lot about where you are. The truth is, you need to keep progressing until you become a spiritual parent. It's not okay to stop at an infant or stop at a spiritual child or even stop as a spiritual young adult. It's not okay to stop there and stay there for 20 years. It's not okay. God wants you to progress. But that's your root system too. That's a part of your root system. So the three things Satan steals it: shallow roots, and it can't endure, and distractions, so you don't prioritize things well. What's going on in your life regarding endurance? What's going on in your life? I got to finish up here. When we endure and when we live for God, the potential of His life in us, His Word in us, and His Spirit in us produces amazing result. I hope the whole point of the parable of the sower for you is the potential of the seed and the person that it's sown into. God doesn't want you to focus on how bad the devil is. He doesn't want you to focus on how difficult rocky ground is. He doesn't want you to focus on how difficult it is when the cares of life choke things out. He wants you to focus on you have the potential to endure and produce 100-fold. You have that potential, and I have that potential. I hope you focus on that. Endurance. Endurance. This is where we want to get personally and where we want every person to get also. The potential is there. You can endure. You can make it. God wants you to make it. He wants you to succeed. It's possible to do the will of God and then not get the reward if you don't endure. So walk away today going, I will endure. I will not be the stony ground, and I will not be the thorny ground. I will be the ground that produces much. I will endure. You commit to that today? Amen. Arby's going to come close us out.